Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
And of course, a big welcome to you. This is another show from Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and today we are going to enter one of the most mysterious and meaningful landscapes of all, and that is the world of our dreams. I am so excited because my guest is a woman whose name you may already know if you've ever typed the word dreams into a search bar. I connected with this lady before I knew she now started her own radio show on this amazing platform, UK Health Radio, and I agreed to talk to her as she really inspired me. Just her energy is already something that intrigues me, because Theresa Chung is an English author who has written more than 100 books on spirituality, dreams, and the unseen side of life. Now, she has been listed among the 100 most spirituality influential living people, and for a good reason. Theresa has one of these rare gifts. She bridges the science, the psychology, and the spirituality in a way that makes this invisible world feel absolutely real, accessible, practical, deeply human. You may have seen her as a dream expert on ITV's This Morning or heard her on BBC Radio, because I think she has quite a lot of questions that people ask her live. And with more than 200,000 followers online, I do believe that she touches so many lives across the globe. And yet, when you listen to her when she speaks, there's this kind of gentleness that I really appreciate, and a sort of honesty that makes you lean in and think, yes, that's true for me too. So this year alone, she has released 6 nonfiction books, I believe, but I want to speak to her also about her debut novel, which is called Nightborn. It's a story that already feels destined to become a classic, but I believe that the cover itself has a kind of magic to it when you look at it. Go and have a look at it, because it's like a subliminal flash, a subtle flash that seems to awaken something in the imagination, almost like a dream before sleep. So dreams, as Theresa often reminds us, are not just random images. They're not just produced by a busy brain. These are messages from the deeper self. I think it's, you can call it like the poetic voice, a language of the soul. So they show us where we are healed and where we still need healing. And they reveal so much about us, what we fear, what we long for, what we may have forgotten maybe about who we truly are. So wherever you're listening from, whether you're a believer, a skeptic, or simply someone just curious about what's going to happen when the lights go out, I invite you to stay with me and to stay with us. Because after this little break, in the next half an hour, you are going to meet a woman who helps us see that the border between the night and the day, between the sleeping and the waking, is not a wall but a bridge. And that to me is so intriguing and interesting. And crossing that bridge might just bring you and I closer to ourselves. So stay with me and talk to Theresa just now after this little break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and I am absolutely thrilled today because here we are, Theresa Chung, talking to each other. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor, and it's just wonderful to meet a fellow UK Health Radio presenter.
Because you've just started, so I'm already an experienced kind of old rat in this field. But I want to talk about you today, not about, you know, UK Health Radio, the amazing platform that we're on. But let's talk about you, Theresa, because can I ask you a personal question around what has been your biggest stress in life?
My biggest stress in life, well, I think it's throughout each stage of my life, there have been different stresses. I think self-esteem. When I was growing up, I suffered from eating disorders and anxiety because I grew up in a very kind of dysfunctional home. As I realize now that most homes have their issues, and my way of asserting control over a situation that felt out of control was through controlling my eating. And I managed to work through that myself, actually. I feel very proud. I wouldn't recommend that. You know, when you have a condition like that, you do need to reach out for support. But for me, it's somehow I was able to find a solution myself. And it was in my spiritual beliefs and in my belief that we are more than our physical body. And actually sort of intellectualizing it, thinking, well, you know, in the medieval times, you know, fasting, people who fasted were regarded as saints, and it's a very religious thing. So maybe it was me in some way rejecting the material because I was so in love with the spiritual dimension.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, I was so in love. It's a thirst for wholeness. And I actually think that with any form of addiction, whether it be an eating disorder, alcoholism, sex addiction, gambling, whatever it is, I actually think it's a thirst for deeper meaning. That's at the core of it. And I think that's why this 12-step program has been so successful for alcoholics, because it is quite a spiritual. Actually, if you look at it, the 12-step program is spiritual awakening.
Yes.
It is connect. First of all, it's trying to heal that relationship with yourself. Forgive yourself and others for any mistakes or failures or trauma or disappointments, and understanding that everybody's on their journey. Mm-hmm. Again, putting that relationship with yourself center stage, and then learning how to give back to the community and share your wisdom. It's a very, very spiritual path that.
Yes.
So for me, I was able to translate that longing for there must be more to this life than the body, the material,
the deeper questions.
And I'm not saying a career, relationships, all the wonders of this world are gifts. But unfortunately, when you're in a dark place, you can't often see that. And that's why I feel getting out of that dark place was the spiritual dimension for me, was connecting with my dreams, for example. I'm now most well known, especially here in the UK, as one of the world's leading dream decoders. And I cannot believe how blessed I am to sit on national TV here. And they open up the phone lines to the whole of the UK and say, send a dream to Teresa. But that is really at the end of, it's towards the end of my journey. I, you know, going right back to the beginning, it certainly didn't start that. I have certainly earned my place to have that tremendous responsibility. So early life was certainly self-esteem, working through this disorder. And it really began to heal, I guess, when I became a mother. I was blessed to have two beautiful children, and realizing I wanted to be a better role model for them and caring for them. But then you go through life and you find, well, what's my meaning and my purpose? And that kind of became a bit of a stress, because I was blessed because I have a degree from King's College, Cambridge, so an academic background, and I have a very alternative, interesting backstory in that I was born into a family of traveling spiritualists, so that made me an interesting prospect for publishers to sign me. My first publishers were HarperCollins. I was very blessed, excuse me.
Because you've written a lot of books,
I have. By the way. But when you go into the publishing sort of treadmill, you are very much put in a category.
Is it?
And it was, yeah, well, it was, because my first breakout success was Angel Story Collections.
Yes.
Of people who've had angelic encounters, miraculous experiences, miraculous healings like that. Very, very popular they were. And then I wrote encyclopedias. But what happened is that you get put into this category of angel lady. And that wasn't, that's not really a trauma, but it was like, that's not who I am. Yeah. I collect other people's stories. Who am I? So it was finding out what everybody else has to, who am I? And that's been a kind of a stress, and I think I'm getting there, but don't get too comfortable. One thing I've learned in life is unexpected, but I'm at a really great place with my career right now. I could not feel more blessed to have a radio show with UK Health Radio, to have book after book after opportunity. I have had 6 books coming out this year, 3 next.
Wow.
It's in nonfiction, but that's why I've challenged myself, because I know we're connecting about my first novel. But so career wise, great. But then what happens in life, you know, keeping the balls up in the air, as I'm sure you discuss on this podcast. About 7 or 8 years ago, my husband had a brain injury and is now diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Wow. So all my spiritual knowledge had to be put to the practical test. Walk your talk. Because it's different when the trauma happens to you, but when it happens to someone you love and care about deeply, that is a whole new ball game.
I agree.
And there was a dark night.
And that is underestimated, Teresa.
Being a carer, the invisible army of carers, which I now am. So basically I live 2 lives, as you would, if you have people in that, you are living somebody's life, because they do revert to a very childlike stage. It was almost like, you know, because he goes to daycare now and I take him to daycare 3 days a week so that I can carry on with who I am. And it's almost like dropping my child off again. But he's very happy there. And what's lovely is now is that he went through a very sort of time when he was, or the energy was very angry and difficult.
What was the age that it started? And was there a...
Late 60s.
Wow. That's early, eh?
Yeah, he had a fall. He had a fall because he's always
had he had first an injury, of course.
Yeah, well, he had high blood pressure and he had a mini stroke, 2 mini strokes, actually, which were not good news for the brain. And then, unfortunately, the doctors put him back on blood pressure medication that was incorrect. And it led to him one day just standing up in the kitchen and fainting. And we have a stone floor in the kitchen.
Ooh.
So rushed to hospital, and I think that, you know, we didn't know if it was concussion for a long time, because it was things like he was forgetting names and places. And
that's how it starts often. Yeah,
what year it is. And you go through all the stages of grief when you have this denial, shock, anger, bargaining. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, in the bargaining stage. For example, the fight I put up with the DVLA here for get his driving license back, because he was always the driver in our family. He loves driving, and from the age of 17, and to have that taken away. So I was fighting and fighting and saying, look, he's a safer driver, and he probably still is, because that's a long-term memory. You know, he probably still is. No. And I was still very much in denial, trying to turn that around. And it wasn't really actually until a couple of years ago that I had to go to acceptance. And again, it was my spirituality that helped me get to that stage and to
What of the spirituality has helped you the most?
understand that his soul has potentially chosen this journey for a reason, perhaps to teach him to live in the moment. And because he was very much someone rooted in the material world, my husband, an accountant, numbers, facts. That's why we were a good partnership, because I was away with the fairies, he was practical. So he never really paid as much attention to his inner world, looking back, as I would have liked. Because when someone who's very career driven, because he had a mighty career, hugely successful career, when that is taken away, who are you? And I
I
think
see
that's
it in my practice often, Teresa. You know what, they only realize it when it's taken away, in what state they have been functioning.
Absolutely. And I thought, well, when he retired, that's a great, you know, because we have beautiful children. You know, I'm full of dream worlds. I'm always doing talks. You know, I've always got so much going on. And I had this busy, busy life that I'd built, because I very much like to work by myself. I've always been someone who likes freelancing, different type of vibe, but it didn't suit him at all. And floundering a bit, like, I need to work. So I, you know, was setting up volunteer opportunities. But then the memory loss and all this happened far too soon. It's so sad for him, and I cry for that loss. It's so distressing. But maybe right now, to see him content doing paying numbers
And
has,
you're saying in the moment, like really, that's all there is? Is that what you mean?
so for him, yeah, sometimes I see him looking at a sunset in a way, like his soul is becoming something. I've got
I
to
agree.
stop clinging on to who he was. Soul, I do believe that the souls of people in dementia, this is controversial, are between worlds. That they're here still for a reason. Maybe their soul needs to still learn things on this earth. But also, I think they're here for the people around them. I think he's still here because he has much to teach me about
Other
walking my
people.
spiritual talk. And I have had to discover patience, unconditional love. Like you would not believe. I write about all that in my books. And I said, it's very easy when you're young and beautiful, got a lovely relationship and a happy life to do all, you know. And I see that nowadays on social media, you've got all these young, beautiful spiritual gurus. Good for them. The message is great, but it's theory. It's when you get like punched in the stomach by life that's the proof of the pudding. And so far, touch wood, because life is unpredictable, I have found tremendous strength. And I actually wrote a book a couple of years ago for HarperCollins called The Dream Cure, where it begins with me getting the diagnosis, not knowing how to cope, going to counseling, going to therapy, doing all the things you're supposed to do, but not dealing with it. And then one night, just literally going to sleep and saying, help me. And then waking up in the morning with like 1,000 dreams on my mind, because I'd gone through a period of very poor dream recall, and how I immediately grabbed my pen and wrote down.
So you write down all the dreams you have?
Yeah, and how that helped
Is that
remind me.
important for us, for anyone?
Absolutely. I'm on a mission,
Is
Danielle,
it?
to get everybody around the world to just those few sacred moments, first thing when you wake up, not the
Because you
material.
forget them so quickly. That's why I want to ask you. There's like only like a minute, a few minutes, and then they're gone.
The reason they're gone is because they come from a different state of consciousness.
Okay, yes.
Pure intuition, pure creativity, pure empathy, and compassion. In
Yes.
other words, the part of ourselves which is our higher self,
Yes.
part of ourselves which raises us up. Now, during the day, we're conscious. The ego reigns, logic and reason reign. Now, I'm not saying those are bad. I hate this idea that, you know, logical, bad, you know, intuitive, good. It's
No.
not. Need a balance. But the intuitive and creative struggles to break through in the noise and the bustle and the stress. We're on the, that's why I wanted to be on your amazing podcast for that reason. It struggles to break through yes. material stress.
Yes.
Now,
agree.
Our intuition typically speaks to us in the day through our gut and our heart. These are the two presentiment organs of the body. I have written a book called The Premonition Code with neuroscientist Dr. Julian Mossbridge, who is leading the world in intuition research and how you sense the future ahead of time. And it's in the body. So if you're listening and you want to tune into your intuition, please tune into your body. Your body knows. That is where precognition happens. And
yes.
reason I paired up with Dr. Mossbridge, who I really hope you get her on this podcast. She's amazing. She's just been on my UK Health Radio
you
one.
You can introduce me to her, I will.
Love to. She's a visionary. She was recently on the Big Bang Theory Ladies podcast, Dr. Mayim Balak. The reason we got together is because she's a visionary scientist researching the reality of precognition.
Wow.
Which is presentiment is waking precognition, because in the dream state, often dreams are potentially precognitive. And we thought, well, her research is showing that the body can sense the future ahead of time. And the way they do this is to have test subjects of all ages and stages, and they will show them images in quick succession.
Yes.
Now, these images, some of them are gentle, like puppies and flowers and rainbow. Then every so often, and it's random, there will be a shocking, disturbing, distasteful image. And what they found, above chance, it was showing that just a couple of seconds before the disturbing image appeared, heart rate would shoot up, right? And people would notice sensations in their body, be sweating or stomach fluttering.
Wow.
And this is ongoing, this research. It's called presentiment. Fascinating. And what we thought, well, when we fall asleep, the material's gone, right? So when you fall asleep, this ability...
Is it really gone?
It's not gone. It's paralyzed.
Yeah,
it's,
that's what I
yeah,
thought.
It's not gone. I mean, sorry, it's not dominant. That's what I meant. So when you fall asleep and dream and you are pure intuition, that presentiment that's going on with your body will still happen in the dream state, because
yes.
in the dream state, you're still the same person.
Yes.
And also the research shows that the 90% of precognitions happen when someone's asleep. They
okay.
have a dream, and then two or three days later, déjà rêve is a dream remembered. And actually, déjà rêve is what inspired déjà vu, which is when
yes.
you're old.
Yes.
And there is so much data out there about...
Can you give a little story, practical, an example of a story to just illustrate that? Because I think that's important that people realize what that means.
Absolutely. When you go to sleep at night and have a dream, wake up the next morning and just write down three or four keywords, right? And then what you need to do, if you do that every morning, what will happen is that then, say do that for a week or two, you need
yes.
to gather, I call it harvest, dream harvesting.
Yes, nice. Yes.
20 dreams. Then the key part of dream work, which most people don't do, is hindsight. Go back to those 20 dreams and see when your dream was being potentially precognitive, in that it was foreshadowing a mindset, a situation, a roadblock, or something in your way.
Okay.
Circle that, because the more you do that, the more you're telling your dreaming mind, I believe in your ability to send.
Oh, yes.
Hindsight is the best teacher for dream work, and it's one that I encourage people to do all the time. And people who are very skeptical about this will think it's just random firings of the brain. Well, first of all, I've got news for you. Sleep and dream science has evolved so much.
Oh, yes.
And right now, a lot of scientists are thinking that the reason we go to sleep is not to rest, because you don't rest in the dream state. You fidget. Your brain's on fire dreaming, because even if you don't think you remember your dreams, you are dreaming at least five or six times a night. The reason we go
much?
To sleep five or six times
wow.
every single night, we've just got out of the habit of recalling it, because
yes.
we're so material orientated. We're so outside in. And dream work reminds you that you need to balance that with inside out. The two need to meet the two need to meet.
I do believe that, Teresa. I just want to make a thing here. I do believe that that state when we sleep is actually stimulating us to live from the inside out.
Yes, because what will happen? So the first thing is, I was going to make two points. Is the first thing is that, you know, sleep and dream research is suggesting that they still don't know why we dream, but they do know that dream recall is a sign of a really active, creative brain, and it's good for your holistic well-being. Dream recall is good for your holistic well-being. I can't say that enough. You need to really work on that, because it reminds you that your intuition and your creativity, your empathy and your compassion need to balance your material, your logic, your reason, your ego. That's that in life, happiness is when those two are in balance. If either of them are the other way, I mean, I work in the mind, body, soul area. So I see many people who are completely away with the fairies, quite literally, because they've lost touch. They need to do the other work to get that balance back.
I agree.
But unfortunately, we do live in a world which is very material, outward success, and appearance orientated. And it does concern me that the younger generation, the balance is going too much in, you know, my followers, my how I look, you know, my weight loss, my perfect relationship, my perfect life, and, you know, my amazing career. But guess what, everyone? That will all fall away at one point. You may not think it, but it will. Then who are you?
That's what I call true wealth. You know, what is your true wealth? And I was thinking when you were talking about that energy with your husband and everything, it's your life force that actually, it's such a beautiful thing to realize that. And I see it in your work. It's to use your life force, because isn't dreams and intuition and all that, doesn't it have to do with your core and your soul and your life force?
Well, you are so right. And every night we get a sacred appointment with our soul.
Yes.
For dreams, in my humble opinion, and believe me, I have researched this forever, as I said, since I was born and written so many books. My Dream Dictionary A to Z is my biggest selling title. It's been, you know, out for 20 years.
Say that
years.
Again, because people need to hear it twice sometimes.
Dream Dictionary from A to Z. It was first published by HarperCollins in 2006, the Element Encyclopedia of 20,000 Dreams. It then was slimmed down to a paperback, because that big hardback was 400,000 words.
Wow.
And then it was just slimmed down to a, you know, 150,000, 200,000 paperback. But that's still, and Barnes and Noble and Costco in the States reissued it. It's constantly reissued. I feel very blessed, and it's regarded as a classic in its field, because I went for the psychological interpretation of dreams. In that, I would love a chance actually to redo it now with more spiritual element in it.
Yes,
it was published in a time when skepticism.
You evolved, so you've evolved.
It's
20 years ago almost.
Skepticism was very rife, but what I was doing there was showing how if you have this crazy dream, because that's a big block with dream work, they don't make sense. They're not supposed to make sense. I would compare them to a great poem or artwork. If you think of your dreams as night poetry, when you first read a poem, often it doesn't make sense. You then have to reflect on it and look beneath the material, beneath the literal, for meaning. But if you could think of your dreams as a poem about your current mindset and what it is attracting into your life, it will really be a eureka moment. Think of it as a poem all about you, written for you. And here's another point. Dreams don't happen to you. People think they're like happening. You're creating them with your thoughts, your feelings, your mindset. And a lot of us aren't aware of
what are they happening for you and through you?
Through you, they happen for you and through you, and they're created by you.
Okay.
Right? They're all about you. And most people don't know what they actually think about themselves or what their mindset is.
Yes.
And they may do their affirmations and their visualizations, but that's a band-aid. A lot of manifesting doesn't work, because deep down at their core, people don't truly understand why they don't feel they're worthy, why they don't feel this is happening. Dreams, however, don't lie. What you get is a mirror expressed in this beautiful, visionary, artistic, symbolic language of the dream world. And it will symbolize your current mindset. Dreams are very current. And you can see there where the red flags are, where the roadblocks might be, what is working, what isn't, if you understand how to work with your dreams. Wow. And if you're saying, well, why can't dreams just make sense and be literal? Of course they can't make sense because they come from a different country, a different state of consciousness. If I wanted to go to Belgium, you know, where you are, and really understand the culture, I need to learn your language.
Of course.
The language of the place you live in. I need to, and that's exactly the same. You need to learn dream speak. But the wonderful thing about learning dream speak is that it completely transforms your life, because suddenly you realize that nothing is what it seems. And a great leap forward with your dream work is that once you've understood how to interpret your dreams and they're helping you understand yourself better, you can then do a wonderful thing called incubating a dream, where you set a dream intention. And in the dream state, you can see yourself achieving what you want.
Wow.
Why is that so powerful? The brain doesn't know the difference between sleeping and the waking state. And if you have experienced something in a dream state, it thinks it's real. And you know the power of belief. It means that your brain really believes you're capable of scaling the heights if you can dream it. And it's such a shame that 95% of our dreams are anxiety, paranoia, chasing dreams, being late, not meeting expectations, teeth falling out, you know, being murdered, being executed, all these nightmarish scenarios. I can tell you my inbox, because a big part of my work is to answer emails from people who are struggling to understand their dreams. I love that part of my work. It's something I just do because I want the whole world to fall in love with their dreams. But they are anxieties. People rarely write to me and say, I dreamt I was skating last night and, you know, I heard angels singing. I don't hear enough of that. So if you have had a happy dream, listeners, please cherish it. Please spend a few moments when you're walking your dog or having a cup of tea, go back into that dream and re-experience the euphoria, because your brain,
joy.
Well, your brain will then know in the dream state it happened and you're revisiting it in the waking state. That is so powerful.
Cool.
It's the most neglected manifesting tool, dream work.
Can you tell me, because I just want to finish the interview talking a little bit about your book, because The Nightborn, the novel, I mean, it's your first novel, isn't it? So what is your what was your intention in writing that book? Is that a different way of connecting with people, who your readers?
It's weird. It's dark. Please love it, everyone. And I can, I mean, I have, you know, I'm very blessed to, you know, I work with Hachette and HarperCollins and now New World Library in the US and Louette. I'm very blessed with my publishing journey, but none of my nonfiction publishers would allow me to get outside of my box. Because as I said, I'm known as the dream. You know, I've got this tagline here in the UK, the British Grand Dame of Psychic and Spiritual Studies. That's who I am. How dare I write a novel? So it was a very kind independent publisher who I actually, a lot of their authors come on my podcast, White Shores, who said, look, we'll do it, Teresa, we'll help you. And I'm so grateful for their leap of faith in me, because I'm first to admit this is not going to win a Booker Prize. The art of fiction is something I have yet to learn.
Yes.
But early reviews are that the book is triggering. And because you can read it on two levels, it's an edge of your seat thriller. I believe I was called by the future to write it. I believe all creativity is a message from the future.
Of course.
I believe that. But on another level, because all the characters are dream psychologists and Jungian experts, it is a crash course. You will get a subliminal course in how to understand your dreams. And the reason I wrote it was my daughter, who is a bookworm. And I see her always with books, but she's never read one of my books. And she says, Mom, I don't like nonfiction. And that just thought, I've got to do this.
Well done.
It flies or fails, it doesn't matter. It's off my bucket list now. I've written my novel.
Well done.
And it's for everyone who wants to understand their dreams but won't be drawn to a very worthy, earnest nonfiction title. And I'm seeing that a lot with younger people.
Yes.
Everything's so fast these days. So the novel is fast. It's a roller coaster of a ride. into how to come to terms with your inner child, your shadow, your animal, your animus, and how to understand the power of your dreaming mind to literally create anything if you believe in it. Because I must stress that if you don't believe in your own dreaming mind's power to inspire you, it's not going to happen. You've got to get to that belief. And the way to get to that belief is to prove to yourself by writing down your dreams that your dreams know more about you and your precious life than you realize.
I was just going to ask you, is it that someone who doesn't do this work and believes in their dreams and everything is actually not really knowing themselves?
Yes, dream work is about self-discovery, and that's the path to all the, you know, self-discovery is the path to all wisdom.
Yes.
Most people.
That's what I'm saying. Is the dreams a part of that?
Yeah, dreams show you who you are at your core.
Oh.
Dreams don't lie, to quote from Stranger Things. They don't lie. They are like a best friend. And sometimes you don't want honesty. That's why chasing dreams, you're being chased by something, is in the top three dreams globally. Yes. Because people are running away from the truth.
Yes.
What they're denying and repressing in their waking life. That's why being chased is such a core dream that all of us have. And I would encourage people, if they have that dream, in the daydreaming state, because daydreaming is another way to dream.
Yes.
Re-enter that dream, turn around, and try to have a conversation with whatever is chasing you. If there's nothing there or you can't see it, talk to the nothing. You've got to sort of start engaging with the symbolism of your dream.
Communicate with it.
Because the dreaming mind is always noticing what you do during in the day, right? It picks up everything you're doing in the day and then feeds it back to you in this symbolic language in your dreams. And I hope everyone listening to this interview, and I hope everyone who tunes into my live Healing Power of Your Dream show on UK Health Radio, simply listening to that, where you've got people talking about their dreams and how their dreams have healed, sometimes saved their lives or changed their lives, that simply paying attention to dream power during the day, that's going to filter into your dreams. Your dreaming mind will notice what you're doing. Where your attention goes is where your energy flows.
Oh, I want to end with that, if that's okay. Where your attention goes?
Where your attention goes is where your energy flows. And where your energy flows is what you attract.
Yeah, and your energy is also that life force. Everything is energy. Dreams are energy. Everything is energy. So, Teresa, I just want to say thank you. I mean, I think we need another interview.
We do. And I hope you come on the Healing Power of Dreams as well.
Because I do believe that it is so important. Everybody listening, I am sure that only in this conversation, people will already have recognized things and think, maybe that's what I need. And I've been quite good in that way, like, you know, trying to, in that intuition thing and creation thing, but I'm going to write them more down. I think that's the secret. So
but
thank
you
for
series,
that.
As I say, don't get hooked on one dream. People just write about this one. We all have standout dreams, but it's nightly work. Dreams are a series. They need to be decoded as a series. They're like a long-running TV series. If you miss an episode, you're going to miss a key part of the plot. And the plot is you. It's the story of the journey of your soul.
That's a big one. That for me is a big one. It's the story of your soul. So if you want to go from stress to authentic success, and I talk about authenticity, core, soul, you know, that's my favorite thing, true wealth, because we are so looking at the outside world for wealth, but it's all within us. And it starts probably with our dreams. So thank you so much, Teresa. Is there one word you want to add to finish the conversation?
Yeah, Helen Keller, the greatest things in life are unseen. That's why we close our eyes when we cry, kiss, and dream.
I will repeat that in the outro for anyone listening, because that's a big one. Thank you, Teresa. See you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What a beautiful and touching conversation this was that I had now with Teresa Chung. Now, her personal story, and you guys know by now how much I appreciate personal stories so we can recognize ourselves somehow in them. Now, her personal story on eating disorder and how she sees it as a thirst for deeper meaning and self-forgiveness, I truly loved that. I had not an eating disorder, but certainly a strange relationship with food when my dad gave me the example. And that's maybe a subject for another conversation with myself or another conversation with you in another radio show. But the main stress in her life, being that carer for her husband with Alzheimer's disease, and how she believes that he is still here for a reason, teaching her that patience and unconditional love and being in the present, wow. It makes her ask that questions about who am I? She reminds us that our dreams are not just abstract kind of puzzles to decode somehow. She tells us that they are living reflections of our inner world and of our daily lives, on who we are and what we do. They speak the language of our intuition, emotion, and truth. They're giving us an outside-the-box view on our daily lives. Now, that to me was so intriguing. And when Teresa encouraged us to start what she calls a dream harvest, being each morning before the rush of the day, write down just in a few words from the night before, because you and I, we know how quickly we lose our dreams. Just notice, because we dream 5 or 6 times every night. I didn't realize it was so much. And those fragments tell us more about our emotional lives than any to-do list ever could. She reminds us that it's the body that knows. She tells us about intuition, that it doesn't only speak to the mind, but it moves through the gut, through the heart, through the feelings that stay with us long when we wake up. Now, If you and I, we would write our dreams, we are going to begin to weave together that inner world and the outer world. And isn't that where true self-discovery begins? For Teresa, I believe that dreams are the poetic voice of the soul, and listening to that voice can help us find a sort of meaning, compassion even, and even forgiveness in the middle of our lives. And what I have to say that I truly appreciated is the end of our talk with a line that still gives me goosebumps. Because the best and the most beautiful things in life are unseen. That's why we close our eyes when we cry, when we kiss, and when we dream. That's the quote of Helen Keller. You and I tonight, when we close our eyes, let's remember those words. Your dreams are not an escape. They are guidance. They are the reminders that beneath the surface of that busy, visible life, there's a vast, an amazing, beautiful world waiting to be heard and seen. I just want to say thank you to Teresa again. Thank you for joining me, you out there, in this show, From Stress to Authentic Success. I'm, of course, your host, Tanya Sachs. Until next time, sleep well. I would say dream deeply and live your true wealth. Bye-bye for now. Just before I go, I just forgot to remind you of one little thing, because we are at the end of October and I know that you can still vote on the UK Health Radio website for your favorite people, products, services. Go and vote. Look at the UK Health Radio Awards 2025 on the website. Go and vote. And if you're there and you want to support me in any way, you have first my six nominees that I have, yes, really mentioned, because I really believe these people, each of them deserve an award. And there's also, of course, my own show and my own work that has been nominated. First of all, as a presenter and as a radio show, From Stress to Authentic Success, of course, and in the category of emotional and mental health, I have been nominated, yes, I know, for my award, for my work, for my passion, for my continuous effort and dedication to inspire you guys, to help my one-on-one people, to help everybody who wants to experience that true wealth in life. So if you want to support me and or any of your favorite people in the world, go and vote for the UK Health Radio Awards on our website. I believe the votes are open till midnight on the 2nd of November, so it's still worthwhile going there. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.